right. So this is episode 59, the year in review. So with me tonight, I have a revenant back from down under and after an absence of a few episodes. Back with us, John Mutford. How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me, Patrick.
Awesome. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Welcome back to boring North America.
Cold North America.
Enjoy your stay. Yes, also that. And back with us as well, we have Hector Contreras. How are you, sir?
I am good, Patrick. How are you?
Oh, good, good. Thanks. Bit of a crazy day, but no one wants to hear about that. Let's focus on the year in review.
I agree. Let's chillax and talk about movies and music.
Yes, sounds good. Thanks for being here, Hector.
Thank you.
And also with us, back, we have Woody Meacham. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Patrick. Thanks for having us back on.
No problem. And back as well, Mike Drew. Hello.
Hello. Thank you again for having me here.
You guys are always welcome. Before we jump in our respective top five in movies, TV, and music, I'm going to ask you guys, throw you guys a general question. What do you think of the year 2023? Movie-wise, do you think it was a good year or a bad one? If so, why? We can start with John. You guys jump in if you want. So, John, what do you think?
I think there are a few gems. So I don't think the year's a write-off, but I don't think it was a particularly great year. I mean, full disclosure, my favorite movies are usually horror movies or superhero movies, and those were largely disappointing this year, and both of those. So
I agree. You listened to the segment with Nick, right?
Yeah, I did, yes.
Okay, so yeah. Yeah, it was a rough year for superhero movies, that's true.
Yeah.
So, okay, thanks. Hector, what do you think?
I'm in agreement. I thought that, and I'm just looking at like the box office mojo for 2023, and there, like Mutford said, there are a few gems, but even the ones that made the top 20 didn't even register. And there were franchise sequels that weren't as strong as sequels prior to that. So I think it was just a little bit on the rough end. And then even going through some of the movies that I caught up with in theater, it was like in the middle. So like 2.5-3 stars. Mm-hmm. So I think the ones that were intended to be a lot bigger blockbusters, post Top Gun Maverick, that was supposed to bring back the movies and people in the audiences, they felt more like middle of the road. I felt kind of a ho-hum, not for lack of a better phrase.
Yeah, I agree. It's like all the franchises had a down year in a way. I think I mentioned it to Nick, but I don't remember. I don't even remember what I did 1 hour ago. So, you know, let's forget about that. Thanks, Hector. Woody, what do you think?
I hate to keep agreeing with everybody here, but... Yeah, it felt like they had so many movies saved up because of pandemic that there was such a delay. And then with the writer's strike and the actor's strike and everything getting delayed and pushed out, I mean, there was maybe 10 movies I wanted to actually go to the theater to see this year. You know, stuff like Killers of the Flower Moon, mm-hmm. Napoleon. The minute I heard like Killer of the Flower Moon was 4 hours long, I'm like, I don't need that. And then Napoleon was like, there's no storyline. I'm like, okay, well, then I'm not going to go do that. So that's why, you know, the motion picture as we grew up is gone. I think it's going to be very rare. And that's where when we get into the movies that we like, I think all of the movies that I liked, I saw in a theater, which I think was kind of the important thing. Because I almost threw a couple on that were like Maestro is the good example, the one that just came out. You know, they put it into a few theaters so that it would be eligible for the Oscars, but then it went right online to streaming.
Yep.
And so it's going to be weird. So overall, kind of a bummer year. And that's just, I think, a lot of external factors that are still ruminating from the past years.
And also Dune Part 2 was pushed back to next year because that would have been a great way to end the year. It was supposed to be released in early November, I think. It got pushed back to March.
Yeah, I think something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that didn't help the overall picture for the picture. Get it? Picture.
Good job. Yay.
Thank you. So yeah, that didn't help either. All right. Thanks, Woody. Mike, what do you think?
Listen, we all know you're being polite in asking me this because I am not the movie guy on this panel. But I will say this, like, look, when you hear my five picks, for my favorite movies of the year, I'm sure none of them are probably in the top 100 of grossing movies from this year. My movie watching is very limited these days. And, you know, again, if you'd asked me this about television, if you'd asked me this about music, my answer would be good years, you know. And I guess maybe looking at my list, I can kind of agree with you guys, because I mean, there's nothing here. Well, I have one blockbuster that's on it, but the other four are not. And yeah, it was fine. Again, I'm not the right person to ask. So,
okay. You think that there's like some variables that kick in, like, you know, we have expectations that now things can be just downloaded or streamed. So it almost feels like that cuts out the want or desire to go to see a film in the theater. And then we have too much information on like movies, what they would be like from other people's reviews. And, you know, 30 years ago, that was not really a thing. We would just go see, watch the trailer. And then so based on that expectation, we just know if, whether we would like it or not.
It's funny you say 30 years ago, because yesterday I saw a trailer for Beverly Hills Cop 4.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And listen, I love the first two. The third one is the only film I have ever walked out of.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
We had that, if we had the internet before that movie came out, no one would have gone to see that movie.
100%. But I have to be honest, I saw the trailer and a little bit of me, like,
kicked in.
16-year-old me was like, oh, this might be fun. So, you know.
It's a streaming only movie, though.
It is. Yeah, it's a Netflix. Yeah. Now, look, it's not going to win any Oscars, but it's a Netflix production. So,
when will it be released? Do you know?
I think it's just, I don't think it gave a date. It just said 2024.
Huh. Yeah. Okay. I'm not exactly Mr. Current Affairs on this, but you're right. The way, Hector, I think the entire...
the landscape of film.
Landscape, just, everything is shifting right now, because in theaters now, well, I mean, I guess many studios were relying on blockbusters and, you know, superhero movies and all that, but they are running out of steam. And now, like, the mid-budget movie, there are fewer and fewer of them, and they go straight to streaming.
I've got one of those on my top five, though.
So do I.
All right.
All right. So,
the one last thing is, yes, the theater experience has changed so much. I mean, it's become a luxury experience.
Yes.
Like, even we have it's not a little theater, because it's got six theaters in it in my town here. And it always had the classic, like, super small seats that everybody, and I always wanted to sit on the aisle. My wife and I went 2 weeks ago to it. They've got all new seats with those big lounge chair things in it now. And I'm like, oh, this is awesome. Yeah. You know, I went to see a movie and it was kind of cool. It was like a 10:45 movie and there was like six people in there, which for 10:45 on a weekday, I took a vacation day because it's holiday season. I was like, oh, that's not too bad. And I asked a couple of the people that work there and they're like, no, we're actually getting pretty decent numbers in the door. And I'm like, okay. Oh, great. So, you know, so hopefully the theater doesn't die, because even my kids who are in their early 20s, they still go to the theater. You know, they still, like, my kids went and saw the Hunger Games movie.
Okay.
That I had no desire to see at all.
Same.
But they went and saw it. So that's where I'm hoping it's not broken. It's just reshaped is what I hope happens.
They're definitely tinkering with the novelties of it. Like, I have a theater that has a full bar and you can bring your drink in and recline on leather chairs. So,
yeah.
Holy shit.
They're definitely tinkering with it to make it more appealing to mass audiences.
Do they know you by name over there?
A lot of red carpet, Patrick. Here it comes.
Drunk Hector.
Get three Mai Tais ready and a rum punch bottle.
You're like Norm on right. Beards. They're like, Hector!
Yes, exactly. John, you were going to say something?
I think I'm not alone in saying I'm selective on which type of movie I'll go to a theater for. Like you mentioned Maestro, I'll probably watch it, but I don't have any desire to see that in the theater. I don't see the point. But big blockbuster ones where you expect a giant screen and loud noises and stuff like that, I will reserve those for a theater, right? And I think I'm not alone in that. It's those personal story ones, like the Flower Moon one. I had zero interest in seeing that in the theater. I'll watch it when it streams. But
that's where one where, because we also have giant TVs in our houses, most of us do now, you know, you can simulate that experience.
Well, true.
Sorry if that was a weird flux. I didn't mean, I was assuming everybody's got big TVs. So,
yeah, that's a good point. Like, I went to Best Buy and TVs were under like $300 for a 65-inch TV. So, why?
Wow.
When you can have that option, it's almost it's almost damning you to go to theater. But don't get me wrong, like I'm not saying like who wants the theater experience anymore. Like that, it's me pining for it still. Like I still want to go and I want the desire to go to the movies. Yeah. That's like the number one thing for me. And it's just all these, like I said, variables that kick in and you're like, well, in our heads, we think, oh, we remember a time when we used to spend $5 to go see a movie at the theater or $6 to go see a movie at the theater. Now it's, you know, $14, $15.
Back in my day.
And all that kind of thing gets in our heads and it makes us not want to do it. And all these things that we should just ignore. But but yeah, I think advertising the movies is one of the things that still is prevalent. Like the trailers for movies are still pretty impressive. It's just that we have all this information to go online to whether or not we actually should go to the theater to go see it.
And you can, like, you have people breaking down every single shot of the trailer. And
yeah, you go on YouTube and you type in, what was it? I was looking up, I was going to look for the Roadhouse trailer, which isn't available yet. Mm-hmm. And there's already people just like reviewing like a reel of the actors talking about the movie. There's not even any footage yet. So yeah, people want to talk about these movies and that's more available than the actual footage of it. And it's just all this information is available. And it was a time when we would just watch the trailer and that's all we had to go by.
And still be surprised. But as with everything else, the internet ruins everything. So that's our expert conclusion for today.
Yeah, my conclusion is close your laptop forever. Never use in any sort of technology.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Good night. All right. So, okay. Thank you, guys. We can move on to... I don't remember if I said that to Nick the other day, but I think that except for Barbenheimer, it would have been a fairly grim year, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that Barbenheimer saved the year, but that was the event of the year for movies, pretty much, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah. Okay. So, let's close that parentheses. And move on to our top five for movies this year. John, what do you have in mind for us?
I'm going to segue right into what you just talked about with Barbenheimer. One of my favorite movies of the year was the Barbie movie. And I did do the whole Barbenheimer experience, which is a long day. I watched Oppenheimer first, which I'm glad I did because it's so heavy. And then you go into Barbie. The experience here watching it was so cool. It was packed. I think every queer person in Yellowknife went out to see it and everybody was in pink and cheering. It was just a fantastic movie. And it was fun and it was witty, well acted. It was, music was great. I was less of a fan of Oppenheimer, but Nick praised that one up. So that's fine. But Barbie, I freaking loved. Yeah. So I don't know. Did you want me to do all five or just talk about one and we move on? Or?
Yeah, please. If you're still with us, you're frozen right now.
Oh, really?
He looks frazzled. You stumped him.
Yes. Okay, you're back now.
Okay. I said it wasn't a good year for horrors, but for horrors, not horrors. It might have been a great year for horrors. I don't know.
We'll blame that on the internet. Yes.
But two made my top five and I'll say Talk to Me. And, before you started recording, Hector was saying how in Letterboxd it's listed as 2022, but I think in North America, at least it counts as a 2023 release. So, brilliant movie out of Australia. And also the new Evil Dead Rise movie. I did not think they were going to be able to capture all the fun and gore of the originals, but it was just a spectacular horror movie. And so far, all three of those is what I've seen in theater. Then it gets my four and five. I'm going to have to do some honorable mentions after, I think, because I was debating for a bunch of these. I'm going to say Cocaine Bear was ridiculously fun. And it was such an original idea for a movie, too. And it was just over-the-top violence and funny. And it's called Cocaine Bear. I don't know what else you need. what do I pick for my last one? Going to go with Beau is Afraid, I think.
Oh, interesting.
Okay.
But Ari Aster. I love how weird his movies progress. And this was no exception. Did not start off liking it. I thought it was a more depressed Joker, because Joaquin Phoenix, of course, was also the main character, and he just seemed like he was playing the same one, just without the violence. But then it just takes some weird twist that it becomes its own movie, for sure. So, yeah, that would be my fifth. Honorable mentions go to the Spider-Man movie, the Across the Universe, the animated, and I gotta say, the new Exorcist movie didn't disappoint me, and I know critics hated it, but I would give an honorable mention to it.
The new Exorcist movie, what was the full title? I don't remember.
Exorcist Schmexorcist?
Yeah. More exorcisms. Yeah. More
The Exorcist.
Believer, yes.
Believer.
The Exorcist Believer.
Yeah, that's it. Yes.
And I think what helped, maybe, is that I also watched the second and third Exorcist movies this year, which were terrible.
Oh, fucking
right?
Brandon, yeah.
So, as sequels go, it's easily the best sequel of The Exorcist.
And the other ones are bad, too. The Paul Schrader one and...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like Dominion or the prequel that's like before.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't see the prequel, but yeah.
Okay, so thank you, John. Hector, what about you?
I have a blend here. Honestly, there were parts where some of those movies that were streaming were better than the ones I saw in theater. For example, I saw a movie called When Evil Lurks on Shudder, mm-hmm. and I thought that was pretty terrific. You know, not like a 5-star movie, but I really dug the originality of it. It's tense and it moves quickly, and it was in and out in like 90 minutes. I dug it. I dug that movie. And then there was, I'd say for like a big, this was kind of shocking. I'll tote this movie's praises all day long. Dial of Destiny, the Indiana Jones sequel.
Okay.
I thought that was a lot of fun. I went in there with absolutely no hope because I did not care for the Crystal Skull. And the theater was like half full and it was like opening night. And so I was like, oh, well, I didn't think anyone even knew that this movie was out. The beginning was a little rough because the CGI felt a little uneasy, but then it improved and the story was fun and it was fast-paced and I just really liked it.
Okay.
So I will give that one a shout. I still liked, was John Wick 4, was that this year?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'll give that one a shout too because that was a nice way to close the gap on, no spoilers here, but on this particular storyline.
Too late.
Too late.
That's okay.
I did. You can bleep that part. but I just thought overall the movie still just as much as if you like the first three, it just carries on the same tradition, shooting bad guys. and then there's a couple movies. Yeah. I didn't really care for Killers of the Flower Moon. I just thought it was 30 minutes too long. I'll also say Evil Dead with Mutford because mm-hmm. I thought that was a lot of fun. I can't forget Spider-Man.
Across the Spider-Verse.
Yep. Across the Spider-Verse, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was terrific. The animation was great. It was dramatic. Hit all the right beats. I really enjoyed that one.
Nice. And that's it for your list?
I'll put Godzilla minus one. Mm-hmm. There are parts I didn't love. I think Mumford and I in agreement that it was a little melodramatic, but I thought the action was just outstanding. It didn't break too many, there are all the Godzilla movies that I have seen this year, which has taken up and eaten all my life, showed, there's absolutely no believability, and you can almost believe this one, like, this is an actual story where an actual monster came and attacked the city, as opposed to every other Godzilla movie, you know, besides the first one.
That's pretty good, that's good praise right yeah. there, I'd say.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Yeah, John?
Yeah, Hector and I talked about this one before. For me, back to what you guys were talking about earlier about all the internet chatter and stuff almost ruining the desire to go out to movies, it probably had the opposite effect on me for Godzilla for wanting to see it. The praise was so over the top. But that ultimately meant it didn't live up to the hype of what I had been hearing. People were saying it was the first movie where Godzilla is terrifying. It was an entertaining movie. It's not fucking scary. Sorry.
Oh, that monster that's been around for over 50 years? That
right. Yeah. Yeah. But
he's terrifying again?
But there's, yeah.
Yeah, for the first time ever. Okay. Never too late. After 70 movies, right? You know?
Yeah.
He finally got it going. Yeah. Finally
found he really loop. Broke a stride in, yeah. In movie 74.
I mean, it's a giant monster. He's not tiptoeing up and creeping out people, you know? Yeah. It's not scary.
But I get what you mean. It's like, if I can make a shitty comparison with hockey players, it's like one hockey player who is so underrated that he becomes overrated.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, to that point.
So, you know. All right. So thank you, Hector. Woody, what about you?
All right. Well, I've had a list and I've been kind of crossing them off because you guys are hitting a lot of the ones that I had. But, Barbie surprised the hell out of me. We talked about it earlier this year. I walked in thinking it was one thing. It turned out to be something totally different. Oppenheimer paid off being on a big screen. Loved it. Thought that's why you go in.
For sure.
Across the Spider-Verse. That one got me at the end because if spoilers by now, but they leave you in a cliffhanger at the end, which I wasn't expecting. So those guys you already talked about. So I'm going to jump in. You guys were just talking about Godzilla Minus One. That actually might make my favorite movie of the year. So that was the movie I just mentioned where we went to the theater and there was only a few people in there. I went in with zero expectations. I didn't know that I wanted to see it, but I went in because I had a morning off and I'm like, why not?
You lost a bet?
No, but it was just, I'm like, why not? I had nothing else to do. Let's go check it out. I was so surprised by what you guys called the melodrama, but I called the human element of it because it's not really a Godzilla movie. It was a human movie about a kamikaze pilot who chickened out and had to live with that guilt and took in a family and happened to land on an island that a mini-year Godzilla hit. And then later when he's in Tokyo and it's the ramifications of the minus zero is about the Tokyo went back to zero from a civilization perspective when the bombs went off.
Okay.
And so the whole thing is Godzilla takes them back one because he goes into Tokyo and destroys everything again.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's all about the rebuilding and about how the government doesn't do anything. And they talk about how like the U.S. government won't step in to help because it'll piss off the Russians and the Japanese government won't do anything. So a bunch of the locals have to step up and do it themselves. So, and Godzilla's just the Maltese Falcon of this movie. He's just the MacGuffin. And right, John, it's not a horror movie. The family element story, I thought was fantastic. And by the way, that was shot for, I think, something like $15 million.
Yeah, it was super cheap, yes.
Which is when, per the comment about the mid-market thing actually can work. And it was a number one film here in the States. Yeah. So that one I want to throw all the bouquets at it, even though you guys are going to stomp on them with your horses. So.
You know what? Woody turned me around. 5 stars. No, but you say one thing is that, and that was better than any of those MonsterVerse, the American Godzilla movies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally.
I would agree with that.
Totally.
I didn't dislike it, Woody, but.
Yes, you did. You didn't like it.
Admit it.
I didn't think it lived up to the hype, but it was still good.
What you mentioned earlier, Woody, about setting the city back minus one, it reminds me of this old Onion headline. It was like massive earthquake sets Japan back to 2150.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty good.
All right. So let me keep running into these then. The other one that I want to really throw some praises at, even though you guys have said the superhero movies didn't really work out this year, I really liked Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Yeah.
I think Bradley Cooper should get nominated just for that voice acting part.
Okay.
That role as Rocket Raccoon and that whole sub story of them altering the animals was so powerful. All of the actors that were involved in that, I thought, did a fantastic job with it. So I really wanted to give that some love. Then a couple of smaller ones I just want to throw out there. One is Air. Partially, I like that one because that was one my wife actually said, let's go to the theater. So part of it is, I will call it partner bias, because my wife wanted to go do something with me. So, but the story itself was really cool because it was all about Michael Jordan, how Nike signed Michael Jordan. I came to find out later that it's like 60% true, but still, it's one of those things kind of like Oppenheimer, where you know at the end is going to happen. You know that it's going to work, but just the whole storyline and how they work the mother. And I thought, I just really loved it because it was such, I think it was Amazon's first movie that they produced and then put out into the theater. So again, it's where a streamer is actually developing something and putting it out. There was another one that, because I know Netflix just did that with something as well, is they're producing movies, they're putting it into theaters and then, you know, then pulling it back into the streamer. So there's that. The last one I want to throw out there is Sisu.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. Yeah.
So it's S-I-S-U. It is on Amazon Prime right now, but it was in the theater. But I saw it actually, I saw it streaming. It is basically John Wick in World War II. And John Wick in this case is a, we'll just call him a gold miner who is trying to get out of fit or who's just trying to go into town with his gold. And a bunch of Nazis who are getting pushed out. It's the end of World War II, and a bunch of Nazis that are getting pushed out decide to fuck with him. And he doesn't say a word. The only thing he says in the entire movie is at the end, is the very last line. Otherwise, he doesn't say a word. It was a trip. If you like John Wick and you like just somebody just being a badass, it was such a fun, there's a lot of suspension of disbelief, but it was fun. And it was, the visual style was super gritty. I really, really liked it. So that's my list.
I watched it as well. And maybe it was a matter of expectations, as you mentioned earlier, John, but I was disappointed. I thought it ran out of ideas at some point during the movie, but what you said was right. The visuals and like not landscape, but like the visuals of the big emptiness of the countryside in Finland or something. Yeah. It was stark and striking. And that worked really well. I really liked it until I thought it kind of ran out of steam, but it is a, it's definitely worth a look for sure. All right. Thanks, Woody. Mike, what do you have?
All right. Again, I'm not the movie guy. I will do my best.
Sure.
So kind of in order, my number five would be Rye Lane. It was a British movie. It came out earlier in the year. It's kind of a rom-com, but it's all young actors and actresses that tell the story that happens in London, and it's a lot of fun. And some really great lines in the movie. Really funny. Number four would be Spinning Gold, which was the kind of the biopic of Neil Bogart, who was the head of Casablanca Records. And some really good performances in that. That's actually a real sleeper movie because I've kind of had it playing in the background a couple times while I'm doing dishes or what have you. I'll put it on my phone. And yeah, like, listen, I know it's, again, and I'm going to say it, I think, third, fourth time on this podcast, I think the Kiss fans who are so loud dismissed this movie. And I actually think it's pretty good. Like, and I'm a Kiss fan. I mean, you can see the debut on my wall if you're watching a video of this right now. But again, I actually really liked it. You know, there's some names in there, like Wiz Khalifa is in it. And again, I'm not great with names of actors and actresses, but really good. Like, I actually really liked it. Number three, is this the greatest film of all time? No. Did it make me smile for 90% of it when I was at the theater? Yes. That's Super Mario Brothers. You know, especially growing up playing the game, it was fun. Number two, I mentioned on the last podcast, which was a British movie that came out earlier in the year called Alleluia, Jennifer Saunders, Dame Judi Dench. You know, it pulls at the heartstrings. It's very lighthearted in spots. And it's a love letter to the NHS. And again, up here in Canada, we have, you know, our own healthcare system. And, you know, if you know anybody that worked, especially in those first few years of COVID, this is a real kind of like, we see you, we appreciate you kind of tale for that. And my number one movie this year, and again, this is not going to be an Oscar threat or anything, but I think it's the one that made me the happiest when it was done, was Tetris. Yeah, Tetris was great. Like I said, I'm not a movie person, right? I was when I was younger. I just don't have time to dedicate it to it now. But, you know, I'm definitely more of a TV person, definitely more of a music person. But Tetris, you know, I think if I had seen that on the big screen, I think I would have appreciated it even more. But I really liked it. And yeah, that's the one I think I've recommended the most this year. So, you know, and I said, listen, even if you didn't play it, it's just the story is fantastic. So yeah, those are my five.
Yeah, no. You're not the only one that's been touting Tetris, and I'm kicking myself for not having seen it yet, but everyone else has been putting it on their list of top 10.
Where is it available?
I think it's on, is it Apple?
Apple.
Okay.
I know there's a graphic novel by Box Brown called Tetris, and it tells that whole story. And that was one of my favorite graphic novels that year, too, because it's a shockingly compelling story, yeah.
I haven't read the graphic novel, but there are, and we talked about it when we spoke about it the first time, you know, however many episodes back, but there are some sequences in there where they go 8-bit to kind of, one of them is like a car chase scene, and it's really well done. And again, I think that's what I would appreciate more if I'd seen it on the big screen, but even though I loved it now and, you know, I'm gushing about it as we speak, but I'd love to know how, if what influence or what, you know, they took from that graphic novel, because we talked about many times, one of my favorite graphic novel series is The Bad Guys, and I just watched the Christmas special. I will not be talking about that in the Best of Television this year, just like I didn't with the movie a couple years ago. But you know, I said they didn't take enough from the graphic novel, so I'd love to know what the Tetris Links is like.
Interesting. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I could have a top five of things I didn't see this year and I wanted to. But, so yeah, like...
none of those are Marvel movies, right?
Not quite.
And Star Wars.
But like, for example, Killers of the Flower Moon, I haven't seen it yet, but I'd like to. Maestro, I mean, it came out on Netflix super recently, but I will see it at some point. Ferrari from Michael Mann, I'm really looking forward to that one. Okay, so... my actual list, I'd say number five, we talked about it last episode, I think, Anatomy of a Fall, the French/German movie. We covered it, so let's move on. My number four would be, and I talked about it as well, Past Lives.
Again, another one that's on my list and I haven't seen yet.
The Korean movie about they were children and they got separated and they meet up again after many years back in New York, but yeah, I'm doing a terrible job.
My wife loved that movie. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I remember you were reading the synopsis.
Yeah.
You went, oh yeah, my wife saw that. And she loved it. Yes, I remember that as well.
Yes.
But no, yeah. And that movie, I remember saying I thought about that movie quite a bit afterwards. And that's a good sign, I'd say. And number three would be The Killer from David Fincher. Loved it. David Fincher, I'm a fan. I was really looking forward to that one and it didn't disappoint. Number two would be, okay, for number two and number one, those two movies are far from perfect, I'd say, but I base their rankings on the highest highs. And number two would be John Wick 4, because some sequences in there were fantastic, like the scene shot from above, the long take with like the incendiary shells.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was brilliant.
Awesome. Yeah. And I think I didn't mention back then, it reminded me of a recent game that takes place in the 80s, like a recent game but 80s style from above, like top view. It was called Hotline Miami. I don't know if you guys know about it.
No,
it's on YouTube, check it out, and you probably will notice the similarities. And the part about in Paris around the Arc de Triomphe with the cars flying around, that was top-notch work.
The only thing with that one was when he falls down the stairs, because when he's going up those stairs and I'm like, don't fall down the stairs, and he does that, I'm like, god damn it.
Yes. And I mean,
and again,
it could have been 45 minutes shorter for sure. And
yeah,
I think I mentioned that I'm kind of tired of the invincible blind guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wherever they are in the world, I'm tired of you guys. And so, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't see that coming.
The highs of that in that movie are fantastic. And for the number one, I'd say Oppenheimer. A few sequences in there were absolutely dynamite. Get it? I didn't do that on purpose.
And you had a blast, we know.
Yes, I did.
Wow.
So yeah, and I'd say honorable mention to Still, the Michael J. Fox documentary.
Mm-hmm.
That was excellent. And there is another documentary that I haven't had time to watch yet. It is 20 Days in Mariupol about the Ukraine war. Apparently, it is super depressing. So a perfect holiday watch.
right up your alley.
Yes, exactly. It's a grim, just as I like it. No, but apparently, honestly, it's super depressing, but really well done, apparently. And so that's my list. Any closing thoughts for the movie section? Or
I can tell you what I didn't like.
Yeah, please.
There's probably two or three that I went to the theater to see. Actually went with Angie on a date night to see 65.
Oh, yeah.
No one ever talked about it, too. I even told people, I said, I had to see 65, and no one knew what I was talking about. So I don't know, for whatever reason, it didn't get any word of mouth, but rightfully so, it was really rough. And then another disappointment was The Creator, which I was really amped for because that's a Gareth Edwards-directed movie. He did Rogue One, and he's got like all the money in the world from Hollywood because of doing, I think, that, and I feel like he did something else, and I'm blanking on it, but... The trailer for it looked phenomenal, and then it just dropped the ball for me. So that was another big disappointment.
Yeah, that was one that where the critics got me on that, where they said there was no storyline, so don't bother. And so I was kind of like, all right, well, I'm not going to do it then.
Yeah, it's just, we've seen it 100 times.
The trailer looked amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was why I was, I'm still mad about it. Sorry, let me sit here and stew.
That's all right.
All right, I have one movie thing, because we were talking about trailers earlier. These are for upcoming movies, though. Have you seen The Color Purple and the Mean Girls trailers?
Yes.
I haven't.
Okay, they don't mention that they're musicals at all.
Oh, wow, okay.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Because my wife was like, why are they remaking Color Purple? It's perfect. I'm like, oh, it's based off the stage play. But they don't mention it's a musical. And so I'm like, is it actually a musical? And then, so then what's the point? So it's interesting how they're playing around with stuff this year. Because I thought like West Side Story did okay. You know, so you'd think that they would be promoting these better. But anyway, that was the last thing I wanted
That's a good point. I had no idea, actually.
In the Mean Girls logo, there's a music note. I mean, it's not.
But come on.
I have.
It doesn't say the musical.
I'm with Woody. I didn't even know. I knew Color Purple was. I think they mentioned it like really sneakily in the trailer, but the Mean Girls went off. I just knew they had said something about Tina Fey. I'm like, yeah, she was involved in the first one. I don't know why. What?
And I'm the other way around. I didn't know Color Purple was a musical. Yeah.
All right. Well, because Tina Fey and Tim Meadows are both in the trailer, you know, and they were both in the movie. And it's just kind of like, what the hell's going on?
Like, I thought it was just another sequel. And then when they just said Mean Girls, I'm like, well, what is going on? Is this like a Rambo situation with John Rambo?
Did they say that the same voice that they do those legal disclaimers at the end of commercial?
Yeah, exactly. No? Super fast,
yeah,
exactly. At the end.
Yeah, right.
Side effects can include diarrhea and sudden death.
who's releasing this? Is it a streaming service or is it a
no
big theater?
I believe they're both theaters. Releases.
Actually, Color Purple's out. Is it out now?
Hmm. I think it's tomorrow.
Okay.
Oh, tomorrow? Or the 22nd for those of you listening. Yep. In
Ayo.
Well, it's going to take me a couple of days to edit this, so right. It's a good thing that you mentioned the date, actually.
Yeah, everyone's already seen it by now.
Yes.
Right.
All right.
Let us know in the comments what you guys thought of it.
Don't forget to like and subscribe.
Yeah. Oh,
Jesus.
Smash that subscribe button.
Yes. Yeah, hold on. I'm going to grab my shotgun and end this charade. Okay, so...
Wait, watch that depressing movie first.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can switch gears and move on to TV. John, what do you have for us?
As Nick and you talked about The Bear, the new season, and I think what I have heard you talking about it too. Beef, keeping with TV shows with a B in the title, one word. That was just, again, some really uncomfortable, these people are making terrible decisions, but I can't look away type shows. Barry,
yeah.
Oh, it keeps going, and this is not intentional. I think, first of all, I want to say Barry, I thought, wrapped up really well. And then Bodies.
Yep.
I just finished Bodies today, actually, and that one kept me intrigued the whole way through.
My wife really liked Bodies, by the way. She keeps telling me to watch it. So you're now the second person to give a thumbs up on it.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a really intriguing sci-fi story. A bit of a mystery, too.
And spoiler, your fifth one is Beckham.
No, my fifth one breaks the B thing. It's House of Usher, the Mike Flanagan series on Netflix. Didn't watch his last one based on all the critics. Midnight Mass was good, and then there was one in between. I forget what it is. But House of Usher, I thought was really good.
So was that like updated? Is that like a present day House of Usher, or is it like?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a lot of Edgar Allan Poe stories. It all revolves around the family of Ushers.
The musical star.
Raven.
Right, the musical, the singer, right. Yeah.
No, last name being Usher, yeah. But it's the demise of that insanely rich family, and each episode sort of pays homage to an Edgar Allan Poe story or poem, but there's an overarching mystery there.
Okay.
To be solved as well.
Because when I first looked at it, I thought it was Secession. And I'm like, I didn't like Secession, so would I like this? But is it? It's totally unrelated.
I got another series that starts with B. I haven't seen it, but I've heard really good things about it. And had I had more time, I would have started it. I forgot which platform it is on. It's a Korean, South Korean, and it's called Bargain. It's six episodes, I think.
Bargain. Okay.
30 minutes each. Yeah, look it up. Bargain. Apparently, it's quite good.
Netflix seems to have all of the good Korean stuff on it.
Yes. Yeah. That's a good point. But yeah, another B for you guys. Badass.
If I could throw in an honorable mention, it would be the last season of What We Do in the Shadows, too. Mm-hmm. I really liked... I think they had a lot of fun with this season. It was more the fish out of water story where they shine a little bit more, like when they go to the mall and things like that. And apparently there's only one season of that left, right?
Yeah, they just announced. Yeah.
It was announced this week. And that's it for me.
Thank you, John. Hector, what about you?
I'm also going to sing the praises of House of Usher. I thought it was great. If you can get past the horror of rich people doing horrible things for a little bit and then see their comeuppance, and yeah, you really read that. And The Bear as well. The Bear was just another excellent season. I mean, I think we've said everything about the tense couple episodes between the Thanksgiving and then the
Christmas episode. I was thinking about throwing that on Sunday, Christmas Eve, and just, you know, yeah, the family get around,
get in the mood. Yellow Jackets season 2 was phenomenal. That show is not getting enough, I think, because it's on Showtime and not a lot of people are doing that. But I think it's, I thought that was really good. If you're going to get a free trial, I would recommend getting that just to watch 2 seasons. And then The Last of Us, which I thought was, I tried to remember if that it was 2022 or 20, but it was it.
It was this year, yeah.
Was it the beginning of 23? Yeah. I thought that was surprisingly great for a tired premise of zombies in a new futuristic world. It didn't failed to deliver for me. I thought it was a good one.
Yeah, the episode with Nick Offerman.
Mm, yes.
I would put up as far as like a single great episode up to that one of The Bear,
yes,
Christmas thing.
Just put a for your consideration banner right across the screen because that was it was so good. Yeah.
I agree.
And I think that's all I have. I'm just going off of memory of this one because...
It's because you watched only monster movies this year, so...
I can't put the new Godzilla TV show on there because I have not watched that yet. I have a show that I didn't care for. It was the Scott Pilgrim limited series on Netflix.
Oh, hold your thoughts. Okay. Hold your thoughts on that
one. I've heard good things.
I know. I think I'm going to a lot of heat from the graphic novel fan base, but that was not a thing for me that I knew the source material for, just seeing the movie.
Yeah.
So maybe that is part of the reason why it didn't appeal to me, but it just didn't really do much for me. I watched the whole thing. A lot of people wrote reviews after watching the first episode saying it was just a remake, and it wasn't. It was a alternative storyline after the first episode, but none of the jokes landed for me at all. Everything felt flat, and it just felt like I was watching a Cartoon Network cartoon show for me.
I hated the movie so I'm not even going to try.
Oh, don't even bother.
Yeah.
I love the movie. That was a sleeper hit for me because I did not know what to expect in terms of being the premise, and I thought it was going to be another. With that director, I thought it'd be more akin to the Shaun of the Dead, but it was to some regards, but it hit for all the right beats for me, but a lot of people it didn't, so.
That happens.
I get it.
You know, as they say,
sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
Yep, definitely shit. Yep, truer words were never spoken. Yep.
Was that Nick saying that?
No, it was a
Chris Pine doing his Mario impersonation.
That's why it was number three on my list.
Yeah.
Long story short, for those who have no idea what this is, it was Gennaro Gattuso, Italian player, former Italian international, was coaching in Greece, and that was during a press conference. So,
nice.
And if you look it up on YouTube, the interpreter next to him, he looks like he is in a hostage situation there. he stares right at him. He seems terrified.
He's doing the Homer Simpson walk into the bush type.
Yeah. Or when Mike Myers is standing next to Kanye West.
Yeah. And Gattuso right next to him is going insane in Italian and English and a few words of Greek. It's fucking amazing. All right, so okay. Thank you, Hector. Woody, what about you?
All right. Well, so I made my list. I didn't want to go with anything that was like a season like two or three or something. I tried to look for new stuff that I really liked this year, because otherwise you're going to throw in, you know, The Bear and stuff, and Ted Lasso, which had this finale, things like that. The ones I really, so I'm going to jump right into it. I thought Scott Pilgrim Takes Off was one of the best things I've watched this year. Mm-hmm. So maybe everything landed with me, because I thought it was a remake, and I'm kind of like, why are they doing this? But it takes a twist right at the end of the first episode. It was just cool because they got all of the voice actors back, and
it never happens.
Never happens. Because back then, like, Chris Evans had just done the first Captain America movie, you know, when that came out. But in all of these, you can tell even in their voices that they've aged. So that even though they're still playing those original characters, you can hear an older Kieran Culkin. You can hear all of these people, Jason Schwartzman and all of this stuff.
This is Aubrey Plaza.
Right, exactly. I loved the alternative story. Everything hit with me because I wasn't expecting it. And I love when something that I think is going to be one thing becomes another thing, like the Barbie movie. I thought it was going to be something. It was something different. That's what I like. That makes me feel happy when something does that for me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So Hector's wrong. Okay. All right. Second thing I want to throw out is Gen V, which is the boys series that takes place in the college of superheroes, so to speak. That one, again, I thought was going to just be another college bunch of jerks kind of thing, but that takes a twist in the beginning that, and then it becomes this really cool kind of mystery that's going on. And then the end of the series, the twist, so to speak, that happens there, I didn't expect either, but it makes sense when they do stuff like that. I thought it was great because they were all a bunch of new actors, but there were some actors that they brought from the original series over. And I just found it super entertaining, super fun. Mm. Then the next one I want to throw in is Poker Face. Mm. So with Natasha Lyonne, that came out earlier in the year. That was one where I looked back and I was kind of like, I still think about the episodes, like the one with Ellen Barkin as the actress. And it was Columbo. Yep. You know, it was just cool. Again, something I didn't know I needed that I actually super liked. And I don't even like Natasha Lyonne, which I think if you go back to that episode, I don't really like her that much.
I hardly know her face.
Right.
Nick mentioned Poker Face as well. So
cool. All right. The next one I've got, we talked about last time, was One Piece. Mm-hmm. That was the anime that Netflix that they made into an 8-series or 8-show run. It was something my son has loved forever. And I never could get into the anime, but watching the show and the way that they were able to pull in, it was something like 117 of the manga or something like that out of 1,000, they pulled 117 of the storylines into 8 episodes.
Wow.
Jesus.
And it was pretty rad that how they did it. And my son also really liked it as well. And then last thing I've got, I think I talked about it on the last one, but I think it's the best thing I've seen all year is Blue Eye Samurai.
Yep.
So it was one, the animation style got more beautiful as you watch it. And it's a revenge story. It's funny. It's got some of the best voice acting I've heard in a long time in it, with a bunch of people who I didn't know, but a bunch of people I did know. So I thought that was fantastic. And then just to close it out, I need to give a shout out to you guys because you made me go back and watch Reservation Dogs. That series ended up being one of my favorite things of the year. So thank you guys for telling me to go back and watch that thing because that closed out so well.
I haven't watched it yet, that series at all. And apparently it's good.
Yes, same here.
I've watched trailers and I know that I'll like it. I haven't had a chance to dig in yet.
All right. And Woody, is there something that you hated? Just to put a downer on everything.
I couldn't really come up with, I can't think of one that I really hated because most stuff I hate, I don't watch.
Well, yeah. Or you got to bail after.
Yeah, right. Oh, I mentioned it in the last one. Archer, the final season of Archer.
Yeah.
That was just disappointing. So I'll throw Archer out there as the one that sucked.
Thanks. Yeah, John?
Oh,
please.
I didn't say one that disappointed me. That's the new season of Black Mirror.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, good show. Yes.
The first episode was Black Mirror and the other ones were just...
I agree.
Random episodes of random TV shows. They had nothing to do with technology or future dystopia. I don't get it.
Although I did like the Josh Hartnett one.
Which one was that again?
The Josh Hartnett where they're in space and they go down into the bodies.
Mm.
Mudford watched Cheers.
Yeah.
I don't know where is the science in this.
Okay. Hector!
Okay, so thanks, Woody. Mike, what do you have?
All right. Honorable mention to Ted Lasso. It was great. I'm not putting it in my list because just like Woody said, not that I went for... first series or what have you, or first season, but also honorable mention to two other shows really quickly. One was from the start of the year, but it actually started in December of last year and then kept going into January of this year. So it's kind of a 2022 show, but I'm going to throw it in there anyway because it got released around the world in 2023. I know. And that's Colin from Accounts.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a great, I like rom-coms. Don't think less of me, but I thought that was brilliant.
Hey, love what you love, man. Love what you love.
Agreed.
Yeah, I do. If it's well done, I like them. But anyway, that was a great show and it ended in 2023. So I'll say that. Recency bias, maybe a little bit on this one, but I just started watching a show called The Lovers. It's a Sky UK show. It's a kind of another rom-com. Has a guy named Johnny Flynn in it. Who did a show called Lovesick, which was on Netflix. The original title for Lovesick was Scrotal Recall. Lovesick is a great show, actually. I think Netflix did 3 seasons. Yeah, great. It's a funny title. And I think...
I did not expect that.
And I think
I'd have watched that.
Yeah. Should. I think they it's called Lovesick, but it's. I think they retitled it the same show.
They really dropped the ball in advertising.
That's right. Exactly. I think when we first saw it on Netflix, however many years ago... Thank you. I think when we first saw it on Netflix, however many years ago, I remember like my wife, I'm like, let's try this. It's a British comedy. And she's like, have you seen the title? And I'm like, it might be all right. And actually it was really good. And then they retitled it to Lovesick and probably for the best. But anyway,
they had the title in the bag.
They did. I don't know what happened. okay. No order in these. I don't have 5 to 1, 1 to 5. They're all great for their own reason.
You love all your children.
Yeah, just exactly. the Beckham documentary, which I was gushing about on the last episode, just great. It's one of the best documentaries I think I've ever seen, especially for a Netflix one. They did really well. Season 5 of Utopia, which is that Australian show that I always talk about that Woody gets mad about because you can't find it anywhere.
I can't find it in the States.
Can't watch it anywhere. I can never remember.
Tactically Acquired.
Thank you.
Watch it in a Walmart dump in somewhere.
Seasons 1 to 3, $5. Yeah. Like, great. Honestly, I think if somebody like an FX or somebody picked it up, a Showcase, an HBO, and you know, paid minimal money for it, I bet you it could become like this cult classic, even in America. You know, you guys got Kids in the Hall, right? I'm not saying this is like Kids in the Hall, but there's definitely a different type of humor to a Kids in the Hall. But it translated into the States. And I think something like this could as well, right? It's definitely Australian, but the comedy is universal about politics, I think. So
if I'm in Toronto next week, do you think I can watch it?
You got to point your satellite dish.
I'll have a different IP.
You should have asked Mudford when he was down there. Oh. Hey, get
Region free DVDs. Yep. Right? Yes, exactly.
He's like, I found this in a back street in Melbourne. Here you go.
That's not what I found there. Yeah, that's it.
Has it cleared up yet?
Slow Horses, the season 3. We're only 4 episodes in.
Yes.
But it's as great as ever and
slow as ever.
Slow as ever. As horsey as ever. Yeah. Hijacked with Idris Elba was amazing. Again, great thriller. If you like 24, you'll like it. And I'm going to echo my last pick that what Nick said, Shrinking. I really liked it. I'm looking forward to season 2.
I totally forgot that came out this year. I thought that was the last year one. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be honest. You know what I did was I went back and I listened to all the podcasts that we had done this year and saw what I talked about. And then I was like, oh, yeah, because I forgot to make a list as we went on. So, yeah.
And that's why he doesn't watch movies, folks.
That's right. I'm like, why do you always got earbuds in? Because he forgets what he talks about and he's got to go back and hear it. So, listen, I thought this year was good for television. I won't say, I think last year was better. For me, I don't know.
Okay.
But I definitely, there's no lack of things that are awesome or, you know, or really great. And, you know, it's just like when we get to music next, I think sometimes you have to dig a little bit more because, you know, we hear things on the radio, we see things on TV. There's a lot of great stuff, but there's even some other great stuff that, you know, we don't know about. Like even with some of our movie picks, you know, it's like, hey, oh, I forgot about that or what have you. And, you know, or like, you know, Hector said the movie him and his wife went to see wasn't very good, but I'll be honest, I didn't even know what you were talking about. I was like Googling it. I was like,
most people,
I haven't heard of that. Yeah. But you know, I know the opposite of that happens where there are things that people don't hear about that are still great.
All right. And is there anything that really didn't connect with you?
I was thinking, I mean, again, it's one of those ones I'm drifting to my phone, but no, nothing. There, nothing stands. I would say probably the Full Monty, if I had to think about it. I didn't care for it. I wanted to like it. That was probably the one I was most disappointed in. And I'm not even going to say it was bad. It was just wasn't for me.
It wasn't Trainspotting 2 level of disappointing.
No. That was a whole level of 100%. That was a whole different level of disappointment.
Oh,
that
man.
Defined disappointment. Yes, like if you look it up in
Webster's,
there's the box cover for T2.
Yes. There you go. All right. Thank you, Mike. My list, as you mentioned, Woody, I wasn't sure how to approach this. Should I go with only new shows? Because, The Bear, Barry, and blah, 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 it's kind of repeating myself. So I went with kind of a mix of both. So I'm going to repeat some of what you guys said. Barry, what they did in terms of storytelling, they made some decisions that were really bold and that took the season to a whole new level, I think. Slow Horses, as you mentioned, Mike, great as always. And Gary Oldman, I hope he keeps doing these for
forever. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. And the books, the books are fantastic as well. What else? The Bear. Yes. those are repeat seasons. But after that, well, okay. Woody, actually, you mentioned Blue Eye Samurai. It's on my list as well because I loved it too. I also like the fact that all characters were fully rounded. You know, like the bad guy, he is the bad guy, of course, but you kind of get how he got there.
You understand his motivation for being bad, which is very important to me as well.
Yes, and which is quite rare these days, because it would have been so easy and so simpler to, you know, evil round-eyed devil wreaks havoc on the Japanese, you know, that would have been super easy. But I'm so glad that they made the effort to give him some depth, you know. And yeah, great visuals, really, really liked it. I have one spot left and I'm gonna cram in a few things in there. Mostly honorable mentions, The Lazarus Project, which I mentioned in a previous episode. Mm-hmm. And I liked, well, somewhat disappointing, but not bad, was Silo. I don't know if I'm going to watch season two, though. I was like, yeah, but it's not bad. I'm not going to say don't watch it. It sucks. It just was too slow for me. And I would have liked more smarter characters, for one, and more plot for the season. It kind of dragged, I thought.
Yeah, I bailed after four.
Oh, okay.
Episodes of it. I just, the same thing. It was just kind of like, what's happening? Come on.
Yes, exactly. I liked, and this is a very polarizing series that you're going to either hate or love, from Nicholas Winding Refn, Copenhagen Cowboy. It's on Netflix. I mentioned it on a previous episode. If you like what he does, you're going to love this. Otherwise, you will find it excruciatingly slow. So it's really up to you. And I watched one episode of, might be available only in the UK. Mike, I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called The Gold.
No, I can't say I have.
Okay, I think it's on Sky. It's one of the actors in it is River Cartwright, is Jack Loudon, I think. So,
okay.
And I forgot the other actors, but no household names. So, and it takes place in 1983 after a bank robbery. And the fact that there are no superstars in it, it's, you know, it's easier to get into it, you know. Like, it's just like, you know, regular people almost. It's not like Eddie Redmayne playing a gangster or something. It's just like a bunch of guys and women, you know?
It's funny you say that, because that show that I brought up that I've just started watching, which may have made my list because I really do like it, The Lovers, which is a mm-hmm. guy show as well. I was saying that Johnny Flynn was in Lovesick, mm-hmm. but he was really the only face what's her name? Eve Alice? Alice Eve?
Alice Eve.
Alice Eve.
Oh, yeah.
She's okay. In it as well. Sorry, I knew the name. I just couldn't remember the order. She's in it as well. So I knew her from other, you know, British stuff. But I agree with you. I mean, I think when you're not expecting, I mean, and we think of certain actors as well as we're typecasting them in our minds, right? So we think this is going to be an action, this is going to be a comedy, what have you. But I think Sky, when they do it right, I think they do that really well. And I think probably a limited budget has something to do with that. So,
yeah, probably. So, yeah, maybe we will see it available in North America at some point in 2024. It's called The Gold. So far, it's good. And that's pretty much it for TV, for me. And I'm going to answer my own question. I cannot think of of something that I really hated. Sorry, but maybe I will in a few minutes. But anyway, so guys, any closing thoughts on TV?
I just want to throw out the new Percy Jackson show just started. There's two episodes of that out, Percy Jackson and the Olympians. I like where it's going. So I give a shout out to that one.
What's that on?
It is Disney. I think it's Disney.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. And I watched one episode of season two of Reacher. It's good so far.
Oh, it's great. I've watched all three.
Okay,
it's
awesome.
It's great.
That's a great shout out.
Can I ask a question about a show that came back this year?
Sure.
Because nobody mentioned it and I haven't started it and I really haven't heard a lot about it. Has anybody watched any of the reboot of Frasier?
Not me.
No, because I've heard it's terrible.
Yeah, and I don't know. And I haven't heard it's good. Yeah. I haven't heard it's bad. I don't know what the deal is.
I haven't heard anything good, to be honest.
Okay.
Just bad feedback.
Kelsey Grammer's I don't like Kelsey Grammer.
Mm. Okay.
He's a problem.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. I saw the other day somebody, a review of like the fifth episode, and they said they finally hit their stride and proved why it exists and it's not like, it's its own show and not a continuation of the old Frasier show. It's not, that wasn't enough to make me suffer through the first four, because I'm not that interested in a reboot of it any.
Well, the only reason I was interested is because a new character in this reboot is, I don't know the character's name, but is played by Nicholas Lyndhurst, who's a British actor, who's in one of my all-time favorite shows called Only Fools and Horses. And he's great. Like he was also in a show called New Tricks, which is a British, it's a very lighthearted crime drama. It's about some older detectives who get rehired by the Met and do cold cases. And it was very big. Like in Ontario, we have a public run broadcaster called TVO, TV Ontario. Mm-hmm. And it would be like a Thursday night, 8 o'clock, and it would draw stupidly high numbers. Now, most of the people were probably over 70, but it was actually a good show. And he was in it for a few seasons. And like this guy's range is just amazing. So, and he is, like I said, he's from one of my favorite comedies of all time, Only Fools and Horses. So I wondered how that would work, especially him coming to America to be in it. But yeah, I didn't know if anybody had actually seen it. And, you know, that's when I saw commercials. There must have been a lot of money thrown at that because I saw commercials on that all the time, or for that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I have one last shout out. It dawned on me when Woody was talking, Twisted Metal.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was because Woody mentioned that for me, which is just, it's just mindless entertainment, but it was fun. And I watched it twice.
Nice.
Oh, by the way, Jason Mantzoukas, who's in that as that doc, he's in Percy yeah. Jackson too. The dude is in everything now.
He's such the cameo king. That guy.
He does, yeah. he does a voice in Big Mouth.
If yep. you've never seen the show, No Activity, the American, it's an Australian show, but they made an American version. Actually, it's the main actor from Colin from Accounts. He writes it. And Will Ferrell is in it as well as him in the American version, I think. And it is awesome. And he's hilarious in it. So
nice. Okay, so we can switch gears and move on to music. John, what do you have for music?
Okay, so when we were planning for the show, and you said you're going to do music, and we had this big thing about, are we going to do albums or songs, right?
Nick did songs.
Nick didn't read the email. What's happening?
Doesn't know the rules.
I didn't listen to many full albums this year. Not new ones that were coming out. Of course, I have an album collection, so I re-listened to those. But for new albums, I didn't listen to a whole bunch. So I'm just going to throw it two that caught my ear, and then I'll just list some songs after that. But Genesis Owusu, he's a hip-hop guy from Australia. I didn't even know he had a new album out. I loved his last one called Smiling With No Teeth. But when I was looking for music to get in the mood for the trip, I discovered that he had a new one out, and it's just as good as the first one, and that's called Struggler. And I'm going to give praise to an album that critics tore apart, but I don't care. It's Cher's Christmas album. Freaking love it. It's cheesy, but every fucking Christmas album is cheesy, and it's Cher. What were you expecting, right? So it's great. The cover art is garbage, but the album is good.
I'm only disappointed that she didn't call it Have Yourself a Sherry Little Christmas.
Oh, exactly. Okay. I'm there. Yeah, good point.
Yeah, scrotal recall. for songs, I'm going to say Kill Bill by SZA. Padam Padam, which was everywhere. And I mean, I only started going to a whole bunch of gay clubs this year, and that song was everywhere.
Wait, you heard a Kylie song at a gay club?
So what's funny? Okay, so also going to Australia, I go into a supermarket and Padum Padum is playing. And I'm like, this is an odd environment to hear the song, but it's Australia, so you expect to hear it. And I thought, they're probably so sick of it in the gay clubs there. I go into one and they play it three times at night.
Our friend Carly Anderson put out her top songs of the year the other day. I don't know if anybody saw it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to put mine out next week, and Padum Padum is on my list of top 20 songs. It's amazing. Yeah.
Woohoo. Yeah. It's just catchy as hell. I have no idea what it's about, but it's catchy as hell. Say Yes to Heaven, Lana Del Rey. I was always lukewarm on her. She came out with Video Games, and I loved that song, and every song afterwards, I was just, meh. I got really stoned one night and listened to Say Yes to Heaven, and this song just resonated with me. I replayed it and replayed it and replayed it, and now I'm like a super fan of hers, and I like all of her old stuff. Olivia Rodrigo's Vampire, and Calm Down by Rima and Selena Gomez. So that's where my... a lot of pop, which is... yeah, hardly any rock in there, actually, which is interesting. But yeah, a lot of pop songs this year.
John, I've talked about this on other episodes, and I know you've, you know, haven't been on some of them. With my son, he's really taken to pop, and we have a couple pop stations, but one in particular he listens to from Toronto. And you're right. I think this is a bit of a golden age in pop right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too.
Okay. Thank you, John. Hector, what about you?
Oh, God. So long story short, last year I kind of made like a mental note to actually do some homework and look for some albums for this year, because last year I felt like I was just not listening to enough new music or albums from veteran artists that had been released that year. And so I actually did like go out and look for some throughout the year. So my list ended up being a lot longer than I expected. So I'll quickly go through the veteran artists because we all know what these are, and then I'll try to spend a little more time with the ones that were new to me. Mm-hmm. So quickly, Metallica, 72 Seasons, Foo Fighters, But Here We Are, Rolling Stones' new album, Hackney Diamonds, a band called Taking Back Sunday, they have an album called 152, which is good. Paul Rogers put out an album called Midnight Rose, which is terrific. Some of those runner-ups from those veteran artists are Peter Gabriel's album, which I didn't love, but I thought it was interesting and I liked it well enough. And Dolly Parton's Rockstar, which was so surprising. Mm. I actually really enjoyed it out of the blue. I think she still sings the hell out of anything, and she just belts it out. And then Ann Wilson, speaking of great voices, she put out an album called Another Door, which is terrific. And then something I wouldn't think I'd be saying in 2023, Winger put out an album called Seven, which is really good. Mm. I did not think I was going to say that, but yeah, that was really good. And then Olivia Rodrigo's Guts, which is me and my daughter found ourselves listening to, and then making little bleeps in our heads to all the explicit language. But in the new artist that I was really surprised at, I really enjoyed an artist called Bully. The album is called Lucky For You. It's a really good band called Royal Thunder. Put out an album called Rebuilding the Mountain. I really recommend that. A lot of rock on my list, surprisingly, and very little pop. The artist VV, one of the, I think the singer for the band Him, he put out an album under his initials.
Oh, right.
VB, and I can't remember what his name is. Villa.
Vico something, is it? I can't remember.
Something like that, yeah. He put an album called Neon Noir, which is really good.
Vigo Vortensen. Is that?
A band called Last in Line, which is made up of the ex-members from
Dio.
Dio. Hmm. They put out an album called Jericho, which is a surprise hit for me. Hmm. The Struts, Pretty Vicious, that album also came out. I forgot that this came out this year. It was really good. Black Star Riders' new album, Wrong Side of Paradise, was another really good one. And then this one was caught me by surprise. An artist by the band Creeper. Kind of sounds like Peter Murphy if he did Bad Out of Hell in 2023.
Wow.
It is a gothic rock opera. Huh. And I didn't think I would enjoy it, but I caught myself after like the first few minutes. I was fully invested in that one, so that one was good. And then I'll make a shout out for Latin music, because Nene Genix, I think is how you pronounce it, they put out an album called Lo Más Cercano a Caer, which means close to falling, and it's kind of like a punky rock. It's good. I really enjoyed it. So I definitely recommend that. Even if you don't understand the lyrics, it's still just fun to listen to. And I think, oh, and then one more. this a military gun. They put an album called Life Under the Gun. That's a
Mutford. Wake up!
I know. I'm blowing it.
Yellow card. Yellow card.
All right, that's it. Okay.
All right. Can I make just a couple notes? So you're right about Creeper. It's a lot of fun.
Yep.
The Winger album is. Listen, I've been a fan for since the start, so I will agree with you on that. The Dolly album is a lot of fun, but my favorite song on that is with Rob Halford.
Yes.
I love it. It's also on my list.
It's so good.
Right with the Kylie song on my top 20. You'll see that on my Facebook and probably my Instagram next week. And you had one more thing that I was going to... Oh, I wanted to ask you about the Paul Rogers. I haven't heard a note from that. Is that... What's it...
Check it out. Yeah, he's... This is a thing. It's like... On my disappointment list was John Mellencamp's new album, which he just sounds like an ashtray.
Yeah.
And Paul Rogers has the voice of a freaking angel, and they're both the same age. So he's taking care of his voice, and the songs are good.
He's also moved to Canada, but...
That's why. Yeah. That explains it.
But is he...
Cleaner air.
Is it like a Bad Company album? Is it like a blues album? Like, I don't know anything about it.
No, it sounds more like a Bad Company album.
Fair enough.
Yeah, check it out.
We interrupted you, Hector. If you have other shout outs, please.
So, Sam I Am, there's a punk band that I used to like in the early 90s. They put out an album called Stowaway. let me see. I think that's almost. Yeah, I think that's about. Oh, and then Pretenders put out an album. It's okay. And that's okay. And that's it.
Thanks. Oh, wait, one more. One more. Oh, wait.
Oh, one more. Yeah. Mammoth WPH2. That's pretty good. Oh, wait.
Hector didn't get the email.
He doesn't know the rules. Oh, so let me flip the page.
Hector doesn't know the rules.
Part two.
This one is annexed, so we'll have annotated the rest. So we'll make sure we emphasize the strong part.
All right. So thank you, Hector. What do you have for us?
All right, I have five because I read the email.
Staring at Hector.
Don't judge.
Hackney Diamonds was one of those. I thought that was such a surprisingly good album, except for the very last song, even though I know the story behind that it was Mick and Keith just doing blues crap and they haven't done that in forever. But I was so surprised. The first four songs in it are awesome. So that one I definitely shout out. Bare Naked Ladies put out a new album called In Flight. This year, the lead single, Love and Life, it just takes me back. I've been listening to those guys since the 90s. I worked security at one of their shows, which is really what introduced me to them here down in Chicago. So I will always give a shout out to those guys. I'm going to do what I call a Mike Drew cheat, and I'm going to talk about an album that was released in October of 2022, but really picked up muscle this year. And that's Noah Kahan's Stick Season.
Yep.
He was just on Saturday Night Live a few weeks ago as well, but I would call him the present day Mumford and Sons, not Mutford, but Mumford and Sons. I just really dig him. He's a guy out of, I think, Maine. He's up in Hector's neck of the woods. He's done a partnership with Post Malone. He's done stuff with Zach Bryan. He's really good. I really, really enjoy him.
My daughter's a huge fan of him too.
Cool.
Nice.
The next one I've got, I've actually been picking up a lot of music off of TikTok, which has been kind of fun. So a band I picked up, they're called Arizona, but you have to put a space in between every one of the letters of the name so in order to pick them up. And they have a self-titled album called Arizona, which also has a space in between each letter in the name.
Do they not want to be searched on like Google?
Right, exactly.
We'll defy Napster at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're kind of a trippy techno band, so... It's something I like to put on when I go for a walk or something like that. It's just got a really good kind of vibe to it. And then the last one I've got is actually, I think, will qualify in rock, John, is a band out of Australia called Atticus Chimps. Mm-hmm. They had an album out this year called Alien Jewelry. They're like Muse, but a little harder is the best thing I can say. The music will come in super hard, but when the guy starts to sing, you're like, oh, this sounds like Muse. So I've really enjoyed them. So
check that out.
Those are my five.
All right. Thank you, Woody. Mike, what do you have?
All right. So it's really hard. I'm like Hector. I'm like John. I'm like, what? Like we listen to a ton and I listen to a ton of new music, right? So I'm constantly finding stuff. That said, I decided that I was going to narrow it down to things that I actually bought. So, you know, not just stream. So number five was...
Or downloaded.
Well, number five...
tactically acquired.
Tactically acquired. Yes.
A space R space I. Okay. Yeah. So Tom Grennan is an English singer. He's a pop guy. There's a relationship with Ed Sheeran, and it definitely you hear Ed Sheeran with this. But he released an album this year called What Ifs and Maybes. It's really good. And I would have loved to it had been big here, because I feel like that would have been one of those artists that would have come over and played like a small theater in Toronto, and the show would have been amazing. Whereas in the UK, he's playing, you know, a hockey rink, right? And he's playing to 10,000 people. So that record's a lot of fun if you like that kind of stuff. Extreme released a new album, their first in 15 years, called Six, with a terrible cover with this gorilla on it. But the album itself is really solid. And one of my favorite songs of the year is it's not a ballad, it's kind of an upbeat acoustic number they did called Other Side of the Rainbow. Amazing. The only complaint I have about that record is the mix is so muddy. The drums sound like, listen, I know that Nuno likes to partake in some extracurricular activities. I think he may have been when he was mixing the album, because
he's now into Lana Del Rey.
Yeah, it's just...
I was wondering where you were going with this.
Yes. Oh, boy. Okay. Number three is there's a young English band called Second Thoughts. I discovered them, you know, again, streaming is great for that. But again, if I really like it, I'll put my money behind it. They released an EP called Fluke. And my favorite song of the year is from that EP. It's called Somebody to Talk About. They're kind of like... you know, kids that probably grew up listening to their parents' Britpop records. And it's great. I love it. Number two, so I think most of us here, not all of us, but most of us play Music League. And I was in a rock one earlier this year. It was called Rock from Around the World. And they picked kind of smaller countries. And to be fair, I had to Google, like, hey, I need a rock band from Slovenia. I need a, you know... And one of the countries was Poland. And I'm like, I don't think I know any Polish bands or any Polish artists. So I Googled it and I came across this artist called Riverside. And they are, M-Bags, pay attention, they are prog rock bullshit to a T. And they are fantastic. And they released a new album this year called ID Entity, like identity. And it is amazing. It's Asia in 2023. So it's very accessible. It's very poppy, but it's got those time changes and it's got the cool riffs that, you know, intertwine and what have you. And I bought the record. It was an import. It is amazing. But then I was like, I loved it so much. I'm like, I should just see if they ever like play in Toronto. They literally played in Toronto the week before I got it. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. They played at Lee's Palace, which is this little club. And I was like, damn it. And I missed it. Yeah.
That sucks, honestly.
But to the power of YouTube, somebody thankfully posted a couple clips. So I saw it.
Nice.
Nice.
Now, my favorite record of the year.
Oh, hold on. Before you move on.
Yeah.
Give me a song from Riverside off of that album from that band. What would be one you'd say we should.
Friend or Foe.
Got it.
It was the first single. It's probably the most accessible song in the whole record. I mean, the whole record is accessible, don't get me wrong. But that, as soon as I heard it, I was like, if Asia was, John Wetton had passed away years ago, but if he was around still, I feel like this is what it would sound like. It's amazing. I can't gush about it enough. But my favorite record of the year, so again, going back to streaming, Apple Music always plays. You know, there's different playlists that come up and hey, if you like this, you'll like that. One day I was standing in the shower, I had this playlist on and I heard this song and I was like, oh, I like this. I'm like, did I buy this or something? Like, it's totally right up my alley. And I'm like, I don't know what it is. I got out. They're a Norwegian band called The New Death Cult. And I would say if you're a fan of Biffy Clyro, Jimmy Eat World, And there's actually another European band I love that most people over here don't know called Dizzy Miss Lizzy. I don't want to say it's proggy. It's not proggy at all. It's just modern, but hard rock, super melodic. Biffy Clyro is probably the first. I hate comparing bands, but just to kind of give you the right flavor.
Yeah, you got to tell, right? It's got to sound like somebody.
Yeah. But I mean, I would say more, it sounds like Dizzy Miss Lizzy, but again, most people don't know who they are. And it's amazing. Every song could have been my song of the year. I love that record so much. And you know, you love something. I'm not a huge vinyl collector. I like vinyl. I love the art part of it where I can put on my wall and it, you know, my wall is constantly changing with, you know, record covers and stuff. But I ordered it from Europe. I'm currently holding it in my hand for the people at home or they're listening as they walk their dog.
Who's the artist again?
They're called the New Death Cult, and the record is called Supernatural.
Give me one song. What's the one song?
Oh boy. yeah, I mean, I think Anecdote is probably my favorite. That's the one I selected in my top 20 list. I mean, again, I could have put 3, 4, 10 of them on there, but just amazing. And, you know, thank you, Apple Music, because I would have never known about this band. I mean, you're not hearing them on the radio, right? So
you're welcome, Drew.
Did it download into your iTunes like that?
No, I wish. I wish. But listen, I'm going to give an honorable mention only because, and this record hasn't been released yet, but the way that the music industry works now is that if there's a full album that comes out, they release a single now and then another single in 3 weeks and then another single in another 2 weeks, as you know, as Hector nods. There was a Britpop band in the 90s called Shed 7. John Lamoureux's ears just perked up. I was never a huge fan. I liked them. They're fine, but they were always kind of like one of those bands, like if you played a record for me and then asked me to hum one song, I couldn't. Like it just, I was kind of like, yeah, it sounds like everything else. But they have a new record coming out on January 5th. And I think there's 4 songs that have been released so far. Every song is amazing. And I'm like, wow, this might be where they actually win me. So that might qualify for 2024, but 4 songs in and I'm pumped. I can't wait for it. So thank you for allowing me to verbally bleh everything.
No, please.
If he allowed me, then he definitely allowed me.
Hey, I limited it to 5, but I had to do the one that's coming. So, yeah.
Right.
I like that we were joking about you picking songs from 2022. So to overcompensate, you pick ones from 2023.
Go the other way with it. You pick them in the future.
I'd like to point out I didn't pick anything from 2022. Woody did that. Or Hector, I can't remember.
Right, yeah.
All right, nice. Thank you. So we covered movies, TV, and music. We have a few minutes left. I'll ask you guys out of the blue, was it a good year for you? John, go ahead.
Oh my god.
Don't worry, but nobody was going to hear this, so you can just say everything you want to do.
This was the craziest year of my life by far. I mean, I went through a separation, coming out, new house, trip to Australia. I don't know. It was
City on Fire.
Yes.
And City on Fire. And these are only the things I can tell you about.
Oh my god.
All right.
We have to wait another year?
Oh, you really did leave us on a cliffhanger for 2023. Are you kidding me right now?
There was a lot of
subscription fee for the next one.
NDAs that I can't.
Patreon. Yeah. Patreon subscription right there.
Yeah.
Only fans.
All right. But good overall?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. Bonkers year, but on the right track. Yes.
Okay. Good.
And
glad to hear.
Lots of fun. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. Hector, what about you?
I would say, yeah, good overall. There were definitely ups and downs, but for the most part, I think just a reminder that, and not to be too melodramatic, but I mean, obviously you guys and the music and being able to talk about all this stuff and hanging out and makes it all the more worthwhile. Sometimes just to get away from some of the stresses that life is, but it's fun to either pull up that kind of stuff and, you know, talk about the good shit and the bad shit. And then it definitely makes it much more worthwhile. It's been a lot of work this year. Obviously, I talked to you guys off the air where it was just like everything has been, when we bought the house, we knew it felt like a money pit, but we definitely put elbow grease and got things done and renovated and remodeled. And it just seems like every time I do something, it's like I take two steps back because, oh, I painted this room. Oh my God, the paint is peeling. Oh, why? Oh, because the paint that was left here is over 3 years old. Oh boy. So being a homeowner and not like really asking questions like about whether I'm doing things right, really, really hurt me. But then, you know, being able to listen to an album while I'm doing that, it made it that much more worthwhile. Mm-hmm. So when I'm painting a room for 3 hours and it's incredibly boring, I put on like four albums and it's that much better. Or if I have the time, like, you know, doing something, and I'll put on the iPad and put on a movie or a TV show. So that all helps.
Awesome. Thank you. Woody, what about you?
It was a rough year too. I didn't quite have the stuff with John in the fire, but like my organization, we had six rounds of layoffs this year.
Jesus.
And I dodged each one of them. So that was that was incredibly stressful. It's still been stressful. I mean, we just had one 2 weeks ago again. So just riding that wave, because I just realized the other day, I'm an old white guy now. So, you know, I'll be 55 in a couple of months. And it's like, oh my God, I'm the old white guy now.
I text you that every day and you're just realizing.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate that too.
Good morning, Woody.
Well, you do it in really small type, so I can't read it. So.
Like, where are my glasses?
Yeah. If you can read this, you'd be young by now.
I actually had somebody at work go, yeah, we're targeting older travelers. And I go, what do you mean? She goes, yeah, like boomers, you know, people like 55 and older. I went, hold on.
That's what you meant.
Wait a minute.
You had made that comment about someone called, yeah.
Right.
Jesus.
And I said, did you just okay boomer me? I said, I'm Gen X, for Christ's sake.
Yes.
Right.
But I want to echo what Hector talked about, though, because the Name That Tune thing and these things, they're what I look forward to. They're so much fun. The Name That Tune thing is kind of like what Tina Wiles said, you know, you find your own tribes sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 2 hours of just us being knuckleheads. And somebody's like, well, because my wife's like, she keeps going, she always says it wrong. She's like, are you playing your game today? And I'm like, yeah. And
you're nerds.
She never calls it Name That Tune. And I've been doing it for 3 years. But anyway.
Yeah. My wife calls it baboon because my son used to rhyme a lot of stuff. And so Name That Tune, baboon. Oh. So if that stuck, so he'll be like, are you playing baboon this afternoon? Or my wife will say it. And I'll be like,
oh my God.
That works so well.
You play with those baboons?
Well, that's rough to hear. All right. Thank you, Woody. Mike, what about you?
Like everybody else. I mean, definitely, you know, the highs, definitely some lower parts of the valley. But overall, this was, you know, I've said this to the, you know, the people in the know, 2021 was rough. And then 2022 was like, hold my beer. And it was even worse. And I was just like health stuff and, you know, not being kind of able to travel easily. And then 2023 has been the first real getting back to normal-ish. I mean, it's still ish, right? But, you know, as we say this, COVID's running rampant around here. And I know most people who are probably listening to this don't care, but like I do. And, you know, and my family does. And, you know, I've had people in my family get very sick over the last few years and stuff. And so it means something to me. But that said, yeah, I mean, this is, you know, we've talked about this. I traveled for the first time. I mean, really traveled, like, you know, got on a plane and went to Europe and, you know, I went to mainland Europe for the first time. I've been to like five different islands in Europe, but I had never been to mainland. So we got to go to, you know, France and Paris, and it was amazing. You know, and just, you know, watching my son grow, because he's now what we call an intermediate student here. He's, once you get to grade 7, so you're 12, like you're kind of lumped into the same category as the kids in high school. You know, so things are, and health's been, knock on wood, been getting better. I mean, it's on the right track now, which is great. But I'm going to say what Woody said, what he talked about, what Hector said. All of you have really helped with this. I'm not going to repeat what I said. I don't know if he's got it yet. I sent Patrick a card, and I have to talk to you later about that. But, you know, and it's amazing. And, you know, my buddy Woody here and I are hopefully going to be going to see a hockey game and go out for dinner next week.
Well, hopefully. I got tickets.
Okay, we're going. Okay, not hopefully. Not hopefully. We're going next week. So, yeah, I mean, it's amazing. And like you said about finding your tribe, I mean, I think Woody, this stands out. So when the Name That Tune stuff was happening early on in, I think, 2021, I hosted like a trivia night.
Yeah, I remember.
Right. And it was all, you know, all those people, all yourselves and all the rest of the gang. And I remember, I know it was Woody who said, "Oh my God, look at Drew. He's so happy. I think he's found his tribe." And I was like, this is it. Like, you guys, you know, I feel so lucky to have, and you know, just, it's so funny because when you have these groups, and I know Mutt's got to go and I'm rambling on, but you know, you find your groups who have similar interests. Yeah. But there's usually, you know, the old joke, like there's usually one asshole. And if you don't know who the asshole is, it's probably you. But, you know, that's kind of like what I thought. But everybody is so cool and everybody's, you know, so supportive of everybody else when things happen and stuff. Like, yeah. So 2023 is continue with that, which is amazing. So I it's been great.
Yeah, we're all the assholes.
Yeah, or everybody is.
We're all equally assholes.
Right? Assholes. That's all.
By the way, 2024, I'm going up to Canada.
There you go.
You're out of date.
Nice. Yes.
So. Nice, yeah.
Let us all know where you're going. I might be able to fly and meet people too. Because I doubt you're coming to Yale.
No, I'm not. I'm in Canada, and I'm not even going.
Yeah. Same. Yeah, yeah. Same.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. How far are you from Karen?
Far.
New Brunswick? That's not that far. I put my finger on the map.
It's a tiny map. Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's why I can't read it.
Uh-huh. All right. Thank you, Mike. Okay, so yeah, that wraps it up.
Oh, what about you? What about you?
What about you?
Well, I mean,
come on now.
John's got to go. So,
all right, five words.
Okay, honestly, it's been fairly. I tried to keep it even keel. So this year was good. No bad news, family wise or health wise, so far, and everything is going. And everyone is going well. I had the kick-ass trip this year, September, October. So overall, it's been good, but I feel like last year as well was rather good overall. So that's why I've kind of been bracing for impact for the last 2 years because it cannot go on forever, but I'm trying to enjoy it while it lasts, you know. But no, yeah, it's been a good year. So knock on wood that it keeps going. And what you guys mentioned is so true. I'm looking forward, even if I'm just spectating, auditing, observing, call it what you want. I'm always looking forward to hanging out with you guys on Saturdays. It's awesome. And I'm also really looking forward, and I said it to Anna when I was in Scotland, when I record the podcast with you guys, it's always, yes, going to be a kick-ass evening. It's going to be a lot of fun. So thank you. And thank you for, you know, all your contributions this year. I couldn't do it without you guys.
Likewise.
Yeah, this is so much fun. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you, Patrick.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick.
And so we can wrap it up and telling people where we can find you guys online. John, what about you?
I'm on Threads.
Oh, you're the guy.
I'm the one guy on Threads. And on Instagram as the Mutford Man. That's about it.
All right. Thank you. Hector, what about you?
I'm on Twitter for, I don't know. The days are, of course, running short. But the Instagram, Classic Hexagon. Same with Twitter. And on Facebook, I don't even know. Do I have a name? Hector Contreras.
All right. Thank you.
I don't remember. Hey, Facebook is like, for me, is vapid. I have no idea. I'm on there and I'll like some things, but I'm never really posting.
Same.
So I'm there in spirit.
All right. Thank you, Hector. Woody, what about you?
Best place is The Wooden Chef on Instagram. I've got some really cool restaurants planned in Toronto next week.
Nice.
The week after Christmas. Hopefully you'll see some cool food I'm eating. And pictures of me and Drew.
Nice. Looking forward to it. Thank you, Woody. Mike, what about you?
Like Mutt first said, I'm on Threads now. I don't know what that actually means. I just downloaded the app. But yeah, Instagram is Pickies with Filters, PICIES with Filters. And I haven't posted anything to Threads. I saw that Muttford posted a Sarah McLachlan Christmas record. And I'm like, am I supposed to like this? I don't know what happens.
What do I do?
You know. But yeah, that's the best place to see me. It is private. I have to approve you, but for the most part, I will. So,
for the most part, which one of us will you approve?
No. You guys are all fine.
You're
fine.
The cliffhanger.
Right. The cliffhanger. You're the asshole then. Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Just us.
It seems to be X is seems to be fading, and Threads seems to be the new thing, right?
Oh, days are numbered with that one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, someone else said Blue Sky, and I didn't even hear about that.
I have an account, and I even have invite codes, and I'd never go, you know?
That's the MySpace of 2023.
I'm in the same way as you. I was given a code. I set up an account. I may have posted once, and that was it.
Not feeling it. And I have an account on Threads as well, but I need to get into it a little bit more.
I feel like if you have an Instagram, though, what do you really need the Threads one for? Like, I don't know. I mean, I used to use Twitter for news, right?
I'm with you. Yeah, I have Threads, but it just felt like Instagram without the
pictures. Yeah, that's true. All right, so guys, you can drop us a line at EETFpod on soon to be XX, I'm guessing, and on Instagram as well, EETFpod, or good old email at EETFpodcast@gmail.com. So this was 2023. Let's hope for the best for next year. And thank you guys for being here. And thank you for listening. We will catch you on the next one. Thanks.